The market gave plenty of people trouble in 2020, and it also gave people plenty of opportunities. We've talked about them all, but now we're going to review some of those trouble spots on the Danger Zone. Welcome to the Danger Zone. This is where we talk with the experts from New Constructs, where they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. Now, by now, if you listen to the show, you should know how it works, which is basically they dig in at the bottom, they work their way up through the footnotes, etc., and they try to find out if something is really as attractive as it looks on the surface level.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
Yeah, it is possible, and when they find that something is not attractive, that's dangerous. Flip side of that, something might look like it's headed for trouble, and if they find out it's not, that might make it attractive. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They blog about their Danger Zone picks, and you can get more information there. David Trainer is the president of New Constructs. He joins me again today. David, Happy New Year. Glad to have you back on the show.
Happy New Year to you too, Chuck, and it's great to be back. Here's to a great 2021.
Well, let's hope we're going to have a great 2021, but we're going to start it by looking at maybe where you weren't. This is not the classic Danger Zone where I say, hey, who's in the Danger Zone this week? It's more, we're going to look back at a couple of your Danger Zone picks that were, well, how shall we say this? I mean, I don't want to say they were flat out wrong. They may have just been early. But a stop clock looks wrong until it's right.
Yeah, you know, sometimes as one of my wiser investors in New Constructs said to me a long time ago when we were running a hedge fund, sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between too early and wrong. Yes, we're sort of putting the Danger Zone in the Danger Zone this week. And yeah, we're going to reiterate really some picks that did terribly last year, but we think remain really, really risky. And let me just preface that the Danger Zone as a concept, I think, was an extremely difficult one to expect to succeed, given the extremely stimulative environment that we're seeing, you know, I think for the stock market and for the economy in general. Look, a lot of these stimulus checks go straight into stocks and go straight into the market. So against that tidal wave of money flow, you know, look, everything's going to go up, and we're going to talk about some stocks with absurd valuations. That doesn't mean they're going to all of a sudden reverse and get rational.
Yeah, that's important to know. I mean, we had Brad Lambensdorf, who is the guy behind the Ranger Equity Bear ETF, the HEGE. It's a dedicated bear fund. And the beatings were going to continue for him throughout the end of last year because the market was going crazy. And it doesn't make a difference if you think something's poised to go down. The market can remain a little nutty. And it did with a couple of stocks. So we're going to move them from lowest share price to highest share price. One of the ones that you missed on last year was Snap, ticker SNAP.
Yeah, you know, look, we called Snap really well out of the gate at its IPO, and we closed that position after it fell 65% from its IPO. So that went really well. Then we put it back in the Danger Zone in February of 2019. Where we went wrong, and in our report we're going to talk about for each one of these where we went wrong and why they're still in the Danger Zone, but where we went wrong was just really kind of, I think, the market's interest in investing in kind of everything tech. And nothing really about the competitive position of the business is really much better. It's moved a little bit marginally towards profitability, but in any ways that really kind of supports our bear thesis because the expectations baked into the stock price are basically what the stock price is predicting for the future of the business, still really ridiculous. And, you know, in that context, this remains a very, very risky stock.
So that's Snap. Moving from Snap, which is currently in the $50 share range, up to Wayfair, ticker symbol W, another one that, well, it's still poised for trouble on the New Construct scale, but it hasn't lived through the trouble that you forecast for it yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's like this stock's priced to take over the world. I mean, you know, the implied revenue for Wayfair is something like twice that of the trailing 12 months revenue of eBay, Bed Bath & Beyond, Williams Sonoma, and Overstock.com. That's what the stock price is saying the company's going to do. They can't make any money even in the current environment, even though it quote-unquote tried to right-size its cost structure. Trailing 12 months expenses remain 100% of revenue, so we haven't seen it scale in this environment, and if it can't scale in this environment, I don't know when it does. And we're talking about, you know, a business that's expected to grow, you know, huge amounts of profit. In particular, it's going to grow NOPAT margin goes from 0 to 5%, the same as Target, while also growing revenue 17% compounded annually. And in that situation, it's only worth $160. Still well below. And I think 70% compounded annual growth while going from a 0 to a 5% margin is absurd by itself. But even if they do that, it's only worth $164. So.
And it's currently trading for $250. So Wayfair, another pick that hasn't worked out, but still you are seeing it as dangerous. And then the last, well, I suspect everybody could guess which one it was going to be because, quite honestly, you've talked about it several times, and that is Tesla, where functionally your forecast was... And instead, the market was singing a different tune. Baby, you can drive my
car. Yeah, you know, look, Tesla, I haven't met anyone who's been able to make a decent, rational, straight-faced argument as to why it deserves its valuation. And I've been on CNBC with multiple people kind of trying to make arguments, and one of the more recent ones came from a guy talking about how it's a software company. You know, and I think every time the stock makes a big jump, they come up with a new business that Tesla's going to get into and make money. And none of those make sense. You know, they're already highly competitive businesses, whether it's Allstate, you know, all of a sudden they're going to be able to be in an insurance business that's a scale business that other people have been doing really, really well for a long time. People forget that GM was in insurance and they got out of it. So it's not like it's a panacea for profits. You know, another guy was saying, oh, yeah, they're going to get into the software business. Well, guess what? Apple's also into the electric vehicle software business. Good luck competing with them. And then we got to keep in mind that all of this is in the context of a business that is struggling to meet the goals of its core business, which is manufacturing cars. And look, people say it's not a car company, but it is a car company. That's where it makes almost all of its revenue, and that's where all the capital is gone. So until they're doing something different and making money in something different, I don't really want to give them credit for doing something different, especially when they've been so stretched and unable to meet the goals of the core business. There's just nothing that leads you to believe that they can magically get into other businesses, except that people are looking to sort of magically believe that the company can do whatever it wants. And, you know, magic is not necessarily a good strategy for investing.
Definitely not. Of course, like I said, if we're going to be fair, we have to sound the buzzer on Tesla. We're currently trading at about $815 a share on Wayfair and on Snap. But next week, we'll have you back and we will talk about the ones where we can ring the bell because you got them right. David, yeah. Always great to chat with you. We'll do it a lot this year. Can't wait for the next one.
Thank you, Chuck. Great talking with you as always. And here's to a great 2021.
That's David Trainer, everybody. He is the founder and president at New Constructs. Go to newconstructs.com for more information to get more on all of the stocks we talked about here and on any Danger Zone picks. And follow them on Twitter at New Constructs. Up next, it's market call time. Bill Hench from the Royce Opportunity Fund will be here talking small cap value when we come back in just a moment.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.